Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I'm Governor Howard Dean, Chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Last week, President Bush compared the Iraq War to our ongoing commitment in South Korea, suggesting a plan for a 50-year presence in Iraq. By saying this, President Bush and the Republicans showed once again that they simply do not get it. It's time to end the war, not escalate it. A 50-year plan for Iraq is a continuation of an ineffective strategy, and it's not acceptable. Our brave men and women in uniform deserve better. They've served with honor and distinction, but it's time for the mission to change. It's time for the mission in Iraq to focus on a political solution, not a military one. It's time for a responsible end to this war. This week, the American people had the chance to see for themselves the crystal-clear difference between the Democratic and Republican presidential candidates on the number one issue our nation and our next president will face, Iraq. Right down the line, we saw Republican contender after Republican contender embrace President Bush's escalation of the war and now defend the 50-year plan for Iraq. The Republican field of presidential candidates only offer more of the same ongoing support for the president's failed, ineffective strategies. The Democratic candidates for president all stood united and firmly committed to responsibly ending the war in Iraq. This week, they each spoke passionately against any misguided stay-the-course plan that keeps our men and women in uniform policing a civil war. The Democratic candidates have made it clear they will not ignore the will of the American people and our military experts. Democrats in Congress have stood up to this president and fought hard to keep him accountable. They passed a bill that established benchmarks with consequences and set deadlines to bring our troops home. But the president vetoed it. The American people hired Democrats last November to ensure that we end this war. So let me be clear. We know that if we don't keep our promise, we may find ourselves in the minority again. But we have to face the reality that the Republicans in Congress are standing with President Bush as he stubbornly wields his veto pen in the face of overwhelming opposition to this war from the American people.
The big debate.
Democrats in Congress will continue to work hard to hold the president accountable and to pressure him to responsibly end this war. We want to ensure that we refocus our military efforts on fighting terrorist networks, which are resurgent.
And
that our brave troops have
Nick,
the resources
who you probably better know as Rob Reagan.
And when they come home.
Here.
But there's only one way to truly ensure that we end this war.
Hey, George.
Elect a Democratic president in 2008. There's one way to ensure that we have a commander-in-chief who
understands. Hey, George, Howard Dean is still talking.
Policy that is tough and
who knew?
Smart.
And Howard Dean has hijacked our program.
America's safe at home and around the world.
I cannot stop Howard Dean. I can only hope to contain him.
Republican leaders have pursued ineffective.
Yeah, this is just wonderful. Like, right before the show started, my screen froze up, and I can't get to the button just yet to shut him off. He's just going to have to keep going for another minute or two. I knew we were in trouble when the show went live, and he said, I'm Governor Howard Dean. I went, no!
Plotting to attack America.
Howard Dean is everywhere. He's taking us over step by step. Okay, now, George, are you ready for the big debate tonight?
I am ready. I'm looking forward to this.
Recent intelligence.
Oh, we also, like I said, we also have Nick. He's better known as Rob Rabies from 411. I will bring him on in just a second because all the buttons are working again. And now maybe I could turn off Governor Dean.
Equally important.
Governor Dean, stop it. Enough already.
America's moral.
You know, the problem is, you know, this is just typical Howard, man. Howard just doesn't know when to give it a rest.
No.
Now, it would have been
with extraordinary courage and determination.
He's still going.
They deserve an effective offensive strategy, one worthy of their dedication and skill. And
thank the Lord. Now, so let's
only real life
pumped up for the big. You are pumped up for the big debate tonight.
I am looking forward to this. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching this.
Are you? I mean, are you sure? Is the YouTube thing sort of a gimmick for you? And let me bring in Nick while we're talking here. Hi, Nick.
Nick?
Hello, Nick. Let's try again. Hello, Nick. Nick?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ah, there you. There, we got you now, Nick?
Yeah, you've got me.
Okay, good. Sometimes these buttons are a little tricky. Plus, you know, when Howard Dean's in your other ear, it can be really unnerving. So, Nick, are you ready for the big debate tonight?
I don't know. I mean, this debate, it's probably kind of, it's TiVo material for me. I'll probably end up watching it later and kind of skimming over some of the main parts. I can't necessarily say that I bought into a lot of the CNN hype, but who knows? I mean, maybe it'll actually end up being better than what it sounds like. So, I don't know. Put me down.
Okay, and I will ask both of you, do you think this debate's kind of gimmicky, George?
Well, it's, you know, it's gimmicky, but at the same time, it's kind of embracing the times. It's something where, it's something where, you know, like where the Democrats are basically just kind of playing to the base that's bringing them, you know, like the most amount of money. I just happened to, when my fiance was flipping through the channels earlier today, she happened to come across Fox News and for some reason kept it there for longer than a minute. But but I did happen to catch a crawl that they had on the bottom where they were saying that Democratic candidates have raised along the lines of a little over $28 million just from online supporters, while the Republicans have only brought in a little over $9 million. So they're definitely going to where the money is.
And that parallels the general fundraising pattern for this year. Democrats are really outraising Republicans by a large margin so far in every quarter. So Nick, do you think this is just a gimmick?
Well, I think that it would be substantially less of a gimmick if they didn't have moderators kind of pre-screening the questions. I think my fear for this debate is it's just going to end up being the same kind of sanitized debate questions that you see with every other one. So, I mean, if there was some way that they could, like, go without that vetting process, and also kind of avoid the possibility of, like, internet trolls popping up and just asking stupid and inane questions, then maybe it'd be a little bit better. But from a publicity standpoint, I think it's a good idea. But as far as substance, I don't really know. So
wouldn't it be just a great debate if the candidates didn't know what questions were coming?
That would be fantastic.
They just had a producer screening candidates from screening questions from listeners or viewers.
Oh, I think it'd be
no moderator. There was no Anderson Cooper. None of that stuff. Just a producer taking questions at random and firing them at candidates.
Oh, I think it'd be much better. I'd love to see how somebody like Hillary Clinton would respond. Like, say, I don't know, some guy pops up on, you know, a YouTube video dressed up as a member of the Janjaweed militia and asks her, you know, why she hasn't done anything about him. But, you know.
That's the thing. For sure, there are three candidates in this field, especially that are very rehearsed, and nobody may be more rehearsed than Hillary Clinton. I would love to see what she could do thinking on her feet. I have a feeling, though, you're right, Nick. This is going to be a lot of prepackaged answers tonight, because the CNN's going to sift through and grab the questions that they think have the most appeal. So you're going to get a lot of Iraq questions, you know, maybe some economy questions, maybe some environmental questions, some global warming questions, and a Darfur question if we're lucky. That'll be about, I think, for the 2 hours. And by the way, could we please shorten the time on these debates?
Do we need 2 hours? I think not only should they shorten the time on the debates, but the responses, too. I mean, especially with kind of the soundbite nature of our society. I mean, I think that, you know, maybe even like 30 seconds or so, because when they get into 90 seconds, it just ends up becoming a, you know, miniature version of their stump speech over and over. And, you know, personally, I tune them out, so.
Yeah. Now, George, would you be in favor of shortening these debates?
Absolutely. I've already seen that, you know, like that, you know, that my guy can handle it with, you know, like with a 1 to 2 word answer every now and then.
Oh, who's your guy?
Oh, gee, I wonder who. For Nick,
like,
and for anyone else,
who, people that have never heard about your man crush on Joe Biden before.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I favor the single digit Joe Biden. Yes.
Now, okay, yeah, I think what I think is if they want to hold this many debates the year before an election, why not do 1 hour, 1 or 2 issue debates?
I think they should have a few versions of these debates. And have them as like almost like a package deal, like do it like a 3-part thing, and have just, you know, 2 or 3 candidates per debate, and have like would have 1 front runner in each one. So that way, people can say that
you're in favor of what Clinton and Edwards were talking about doing as far as, or Edwards was talking about doing as far as splitting up the field.
Well,
in groups of 4.
But at the same time, not to have it so that it's like, you know, the top people on this debate and
yeah,
the bottom feeders
the
on this debate.
What if you get Clinton, Obama, Edwards, and Richardson on one stage, and you get the other four on another?
Yeah, that's ridiculous the way that would be set up. You know, what you would do
that's
is,
the thing. I think
the best way to do it is to take Clinton, say Clinton and Edwards on one, have, you know, like Obama and Richardson on the other, and then have, you know, like, and then switch and put like Biden and Kucinich on one, and, you know, like Gravel and yeah,
Dodd.
Yeah, Dodd. Yeah,
Dodd.
Dodd. Yeah. Yeah, just basically just kind of switch it up a little bit. You know, like just.
Now, Nick, would you be in favor of like shorter debates or different formatting of the debates or less candidates at the debate?
Well, I think one thing they might want to consider doing is maybe borrowing from the NCAA tournament and kind of doing a seeding style thing. If they could break it up, you know, seed the candidates, yeah, like, you know, 1 through 10 or 1 through 139 if they want to make it really interesting. But and then just kind of have, you know, like maybe a high seed, a low seed, and a mid seed in each debate so that you kind of have like you have your mainstream guys, then you have your somewhat faltering candidates, and then you've got, you know, the protests or the really kind of out there extreme left-wing candidates, and they can all kind of mix it up together. But
this kind of system that we're talking about would actually help the Dodds, the Bidens, the Kucinichs of the world, because they would get airtime. Even the Bill Richardsons, they would actually get airtime, and it would help the higher-tier candidates because they would have more time to actually get into their answers. But I don't know. I think everybody should be at the debate. This whole exclusionary thing they were talking about, I'm not in favor of that at all. I think there is a certain cachet factor to seeing how the candidate you might support matches up with the best. A side-by-side comparison. There's a value in there. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, doing these kind of debates, if you have a two-hour debate, cover three issues. They try to cover 12 issues in 2 hours and give everyone 14 seconds to answer. Everybody goes over. Then people get ticked. And then the debate just degenerates into chaos by the last half hour. Okay, moving on. Do you guys think this format will, I don't know how much, Nick, you've watched the previous three. Do you think this format will be better, worse, or the same?
Oh man, it's gonna be the same. It's just, you know, it's a girl, it's the same girl in a different dress, really. I mean, especially since you have, like I said before, you know, CNN pre-moderating and pre-screening the questions, you're not gonna get anything, I don't think, that's really provocative out there. You'll probably be lucky to see, like you said, one thing about Darfur, but other than that, I would just kind of expect the same kind of cut and dried usual kind of truncated stump speeches that you've heard from a lot of the people before, which is, you know, kind of why I said at first it's TiVo material for me rather than riveting, you know, must-see TV. So,
okay, George, what do you think? Different format, different debate, different results? Yes, no, maybe?
I want to say that it would, you know, like be something different, but I got to agree with Nick that the whole pre-screening, you know, moderated set up and everything that these debates just insist on having is going to result in more of the same, and that's a damn shame because they have an opportunity to really do something different, something daring, and they're not doing that.
Oh, by the way, calling Anderson Cooper and Larry King part of the best political team on television should be an insult to anybody over the age of three.
Hey,
okay. Now I call Anderson and Larry the flamer and the fogey, because Larry King should be out interviewing Suzanne Somers, and let's face it, Anderson Cooper's a lightweight. I mean, he's not exactly heavy duty, hard news material.
Yeah, but Anderson Cooper has the look.
The look.
the look that apparently
attracts the young men and soccer moms.
Exactly. No, but like Anderson Cooper is like the Randy Orton of, like, you know, cable television news. I mean,
all flash and no substance.
Well, I mean, you know, he's got some substance sometimes. Like, I think he did a fairly good job with some of the Katrina stuff, but
the Katrina stuff was great. He's more of a human interest kind of reporter.
Yeah, I mean, what is
he's not really what you would consider hard news politics.
No, I mean,
you know, he just doesn't fit that mold. I mean, you know, you just want to say, where's Bernard Shaw, Judy Woodruff? Heck, bring Aaron Brown back. somebody with a little bit of weight to them, you know. But I mean, as long as at least they're not having Larry King pick the questions. Can you imagine what would happen then? Benner, we have a question. Do you like baseball? Then Larry would go on about some radio show he did in 1926, and, you know, the candidates would just shrug and start walking off the stage. Okay, now, there have been, what, three debates. This will be the fourth debate. I'm going to ask George, because we haven't kind of rounded this up. Nick, I don't want to, like, put you too much on the spot. George,
yes.
Give a letter grade to some of the candidates so far. If you're going to give Hillary, because we did this in the politics and a formal mania, I'm going to give you guys the chance to grade the candidates so far. Hillary Clinton, give her a letter grade. A through
C.
F.
I'd say C.
C. Okay, Barack Obama?
I say, you know, like, I say he's still slipping in my eyes, so I give him a C-.
Oh, he's getting lower than Hillary. John Edwards?
John Edwards, he's holding at a solid B minus, but there's definitely still room for improvement there.
Okay, I know how you feel about Bill Richardson, but I'm gonna do it. Bill Richardson.
Oh, D.
That was fast and easy. Chris Dodd.
Chris Dodd, Christ, incomplete.
okay, Dennis Kucinich.
I love the way this man thinks, so I'm gonna give him a B minus. He's going up there with Edwards, I think. I just love the Maverick sense that he's got. You know, like
our boy Mike Gravel Gravel.
Oh Jesus. You're not
grading on sanity.
Well, in that case. No, I gotta give him a D plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
And finally, I saved him for last, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, even though he's got single digits, he makes sense, so I give him a B minus.
Oh, you give him a B minus? I thought he'd go under the A material.
No, not yet. I personally like, you know, love the guy and everything, but until he gets more support, then, you know, like he's stuck in like B minus territory. He's got the
okay, Nick. Same kind of thing. Give me some grades for some of the candidates here. We'll start with Hillary.
All right, Hillary, I think I've got to probably give her a B, not because she's said anything worthwhile, but just because so far she's managed to maintain her lead and her very robotic-like stage presence. So I think that's probably worth something.
Okay, Barack Obama?
Obama, he's a C-plus right now, I think. The charisma's starting to kind of wear off a little bit. He's doing a good job with the small fundraisers, but still, I mean, it's kind of that empty populist message of hope without any real substance. So, I don't know.
Okay, John Edwards.
I think Edwards is probably at a C right now. I think he's really in danger of being the Lieberman of this race, just kind of the guy that people remember as kind of the vestige of 2004 and maybe want to kind of sweep aside. I almost wonder if he's running for VP again. So,
That's what I'd rather walk with me. Bill Richardson.
Richardson? Who's Bill Richardson? No, I'm just kidding. Awful. D minus.
Mm. Wow, you're going to fit right into this program, Nick. We're going to have you one more often. Chris Dodd.
Chris Dodd's got to get an incomplete. I mean, you know, I think that if Chris Dodd even walked into, like, you know, some of the most brazen political junkies, you know, loft or whatever and wore a shirt that said, I'm Chris Dodd, they wouldn't know who the hell he was.
Okay, I'm going to save Joe Biden for the end. Dennis Kucinich?
Oh, you see, Kucinich, I think you actually have to give Kucinich a B-plus because he knows that he can't win, but I think that he's a really good protest candidate. So just for getting his message out there a little bit, I'm going to give him a high B.
Mike Gravel.
Oh, Gravel is awesome.
You are definitely back on this show at any time you want.
When I was doing my little, like, you know, 10-minute prep for this, whenever I was on the toilet before I called in, I watched a YouTube clip of Gravel just kind of ripping into some of the other people in the debate, just because I remember that specific moment. And the guy is just so off-the-wall crazy. I mean, you know, he's definitely like the white Al Sharpton of 2008. He gets an A-.
Okay, and finally, Joe Biden.
Biden? Ugh, wow. You know, I really like Biden. And if I had my druthers, I think that he would probably make the best president of the group. But I give him.
You're welcome back on the show anytime.
You just made a friend.
But
okay, what would you grade him as?
Oh, I'd give him a C minus. I mean, he's
kind of a low grade, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's the perception versus the reality. I think the reality of him as a candidate is good, but his public perception and him actually trying to overcome that, I think that he's been kind of unsuccessful so far. Maybe if he can survive into the early part of next year, he can kind of help turn that around. But, you know, right now he's definitely got to, you know, step it up.
I think I'm going to basically stick to my grades on 4-1 Mania. The top three pretty much are variations of C+, C, and C-. Biden, I gave a solid C2. Dennis, I gave Dennis a D. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Gravel, a D. Dodd was the closest thing I had to an F, but I gave him a D-, because I'm generous. I feel bad for Chris Dodd because there's room for only one experienced Senate candidate in this race, and it's not him. There's room for either Biden or Dodd, not both.
Yeah.
So, Dodd, there's nothing wrong with Chris Dodd as far as experience leadership. He just, in a year where style wins over substance, which is what the Democrats are looking for, flash and rock and roll star kind of cachet, he has no chance. Just none at all. Okay, guys, I'm going to ask you specifically about tonight. Who really needs to step it up, George?
I think that Barack Obama needs to step it up because he's stuck in this mediocre slump. Even though he's raising money, he's really got to get the word out about what exactly he stands for. And it's just something that is just a constant thing with me. It's just like he's got like a lot of flash and everything, but at the same time, he's shown none of that fire that he showed in 2004. And that's what got him on this ballot in the first place.
Okay, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely go with Obama as far as one who needs to step it up, but I think John Edwards needs it even more. I mean, like I said, I think he's kind of in danger of just becoming an also-ran right now, which I think is really a shame because I think that he kind of brings out almost like a Reagan-esque like hope in the populace when he speaks, but I think that he needs to be a little bit more forceful as far as his overall message and kind of expand beyond just the standard two Americas thing. And definitely Obama needs to actually lay down some substance rather than just kind of his generic hope message. So, you know.
Yeah, Barack Obama seems to have been getting by with, I'm Barack Obama.
And he thought
that would be enough in the beginning, and it hasn't been. I mean, he hasn't been able to catch Hillary. He just cannot go on platitudes and charisma and expect to catch a machine like Hillary Clinton. It's not going to happen. Okay, I think I know the answer to this one, George, but mm-hmm. Who do you want to go away?
Who do I want to go away?
Yeah.
I would say to both Richardson and Gravel, sorry, guys.
Okay.
The tribe has spoken.
You've seen enough out of both of them? You think they have nothing else to offer?
Yeah, it's just, they got their bluster out. We know what experience Richardson has. And if we didn't know by now, he would have told us again.
I was governor of New Mexico.
Yeah. I just got to tell him, guys, the tribe has spoken. You have to leave the island. So.
Okay, Nick?
Actually, I don't think that anybody should go away. If I had my own opinion, I guess I'd probably kick Richardson off first. But I love Gravel, so I'd want him around just surely on entertainment value, hoping to.
he and Dennis make these debates so much more watchable. I'm just waiting for Kucinich and Gravel to splinter off from the Democratic Party and just start attacking everyone. They're going to form some sort of unholy pact. A crazy old and radical liberal.
Hey, just as long as Ron Paul gets to join him, then great.
Oh, yeah, well, Ron Paul will be their manager. He started the Precious Paul Ellering for these Red Warriors.
Yeah.
But that's an old tag team reference. Okay, now, is it fair to have candidates like Kucinich and Gravel in the debates? Is it taking away from the top tier? Are they adding anything to the discussion? Nick?
Oh, it's definitely fair to have them in there. I mean, they do represent at least a small portion of the Democratic base. I mean, granted, it might not be the most refined portion of the base, but there is a lot of outrage there and a lot of, you know, people who don't necessarily believe that the word liberal is a pejorative in this country. So I think that by having guys like that, who not only provide entertainment, but actually do kind of espouse like true hardline left values, it shows, you know, and makes kind of the other more moderate candidates respond to something rather than just kind of general party line bullshit. So I like him.
By the way, how far left? Okay, same question for George. Is it fair? And then I have a follow-up. Is it fair to have these two in the debates?
I would actually, you know, after you know, giving more thought and everything, I would keep Gravel for his entertainment purposes and get rid of Dodd, so that it would be just Richardson and Dodd going off. Because
so you would keep Dennis? You'd keep Kucinich?
I would definitely keep Kucinich, and now that I think about it more, I would keep Gravel, because the one thing about both of those guys that I really liked is that they continuously called the other candidates out on everything, and that was so cool. That was the closest thing that we're ever going to see to these presidential candidates having to think on their feet. Because you have guys like Kucinich and Gravel that are coming up with the stuff that the moderators don't want to go near.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these debates definitely have an agenda to them, and for the most part it is to gather ratings and so that the leaders come out looking good. I mean, they don't want to make anybody work in these debates just yet, and I don't think they're going to make anybody work up until we get close to Iowa. I think Dennis Kucinich is the heir apparent to Ted Kennedy as far as liberal thinking in the Democratic Party. Teddy's getting older, and there has to be a real social liberal voice in the party.
Yeah, but
I think that's Kucinich.
Kucinich is a vegan, though. I mean, come on, you got to have some kind of hard boozing liberal.
Well, I mean, yeah, Kucinich is a liberal right there. I mean, other liberals look at Kucinich and go, whoa, that's a little too far left for me. If you had to pick possibly, I'm going to ask you to just basically randomly pick a name out of the sky just about. Who do you think is going to fare well tonight, winner or loser? Give me a winner, give me a loser, just a guess. George?
I think a couple of winners tonight. I think that that Edwards is going to step it up. I think that that Biden's going to continue to make his case. I think Richardson is still going to sink down below. I think Dodd is going to continue to give us nothing to praise him for. So those are my two winners, my two losers.
Okay, Nick.
Oh, my winner. I mean, I'm going to kind of ape George here and saying that it's going to be Obama and Edwards. I mean, you know. Those guys are both so charismatic. I mean, they could have sex with your wife in front of you and you wouldn't even really care. I mean, so, you know, I think that they'll do really well even if they, you know, kind of have to shoot off the cuff, because they're not necessarily quite as micromanaged as Hillary. They're very intelligent and they can think on their feet well. They're also both former, you know, lawyers like Hillary, but I think that they're kind of a little bit more in the game as far as that's concerned. Losers, I'm going to have to go with some of kind of the lower running stiffs, one being Richardson. The other one, most likely, yes, also being Dodd, but I think Hillary will actually kind of be shown for kind of some of her falsities if they actually show maybe a little bit of ingenuity as far as actually setting this up, but if not, who knows?
She'll come out looking for the leader still. Okay, George, you know what this music means.
Oh, before the music comes up, I do have to interject on one quick thing. I do have to say that that if Obama did have sex with my fiance, I would be a little bit worried, because then she would never go back.
Nice, George. Now we know why you support Joe Biden.
Would she only go halfway back, though?
Oh, that's true. There is that chance.
Guys, you got to listen to Joe's music. There
yes.
You go.
Joe Biden minute.
To end the show tonight, we're going to do the Joe Biden Minute, also called Just for George. Okay, George, I have some new Joe Biden poll numbers.
All right.
And new, and I mean new as in brand new, Rasmussen Reports telephone survey shows Joe Biden only 9 points behind Rudy Giuliani in a head-to-head matchup.
That ain't bad.
Yeah, Giuliani gets 46%, Biden gets 37%.
Hey.
Okay, in March, the same race was 54-35 for Giuliani.
Hmm.
Even more surprising, Joe Biden, when he's matched up with Fred Thompson, trails 40-38.
Ooh.
Yes.
These are sexy numbers here.
Yes, I thought it was staying. I definitely thought I had to include it. Mm-hmm. Now, you must remember, Biden suffers, okay, it says Biden suffers from a low profile in the campaign. 30% of the people aren't sure of him. He's viewed favorably by 32%, very favorably by 6%, and 38% view him unfavorably. Mm-hmm. And still, as far as the core support numbers, Biden has the second highest number of people who won't vote for him at 42%.
Well, then.
Definitely not. So he's making progress.
Yep. Hey, every little bit helps. It's all about baby steps.
Okay, that has been your Joe Biden Minute, probably closer to 45 seconds, actually. That's it. It's 7 o'clock. George, what do you got to promote this week?
I have the final bit of my Dateline NBC segments with the scene from the fourth Harry Potter film, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
This is a Catch a Predator segment. Okay.
Yep, on Scene Anatomy 101 on 411mania.com/movies every Wednesday.
Okay, Nick, anything to promote? Anything in the pipeline?
Oh, I'm actually doing an ongoing thing in the baseball section, rating the MLB GMs. This week, I think I'm going to be taking a look at the AL Central, so probably look for that to come up on Wednesday or Thursday. Other than that, I don't know, I think I might write a political column just ripping into Enrique, but aside from that, probably not too much.
Okay, well, just let me know when you get the column done so I can know where to put it in the zone. Okay, now, I am still doing all my usual stuff. You can check worldmania.com at midnight. There'll be a full debate wrap-up along with my Tuesday column. It'll all be folded together into one big piece, as if my columns aren't long enough as it is. And we'll be back on Sunday with a new show. For George and Nick, I'm Jason, saying thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.